Hey guys, it's Sean D. Welcome back to the podcast. Today we've got David Wergler with us from My Brothers and I Band. I hope you enjoy listening to this as much as I enjoyed recording it. Again, we've got a bit of technical difficulties, but just look past that and enjoy the show.
Hello, hello.
Hey David, how are you?
Good, how are you doing, man?
Doing super good. Welcome to the show.
Happy to be here.
Good, good. Well, to begin, would you just tell the people listening a little bit about yourself and then the band?
For sure. Well, yeah, I'm David Wergler, lead singer, my brothers and I. We just played at Whitworth not too long ago, had a blast. We actually are, well, three of us are actually brothers. Me, Scott, and Eric, and then our guitar player Jordan is not biologically a brother, but he's been kind of around our family since I was born. I'm the youngest. Scott is the oldest. They've been best friends since like second grade, so he actually like held me when I was a baby. So he's basically our brother. So yeah, it's just like we're all super tight knit. We've been playing music together as this band probably 2 years, but they have always been, like Scott and Jordan especially, have been doing bands for as long as I can remember and since like middle school for them. So Everybody's been playing music for a while, but then this particular, we never really thought to like team up until a couple of years ago. So it's been fun. Cool. We've been having a blast.
Cool, yeah, and it sounds like it's working out. Have you always been a singer, or did you play a different instrument growing up, or
yeah, like I said, I'm the youngest, Scott's the oldest, so Scott is our drummer, and so I, growing up, first wanted to be a drummer because I just wanted to do what Scott did. So I started out with drums, never had lessons or anything, but I definitely never really thought about singing for the first probably like, I don't even know, like 10 years, 11 years of my life. And so I primarily just was drumming. And then when I got to middle school, Eric can just play anything. And he's the middle brother. He can sing. He can play any instrument that has strings on it. He can play piano. So he was always in choir. And so I finally decided to go and join choir middle school because he had a really good experience with our choir teacher. And then that's kind of when I started to get into singing more, and then just, I still play drums and I can play a little bit of piano as well for, like writing music and stuff, but definitely singing is like the main thing now.
Cool. And so who, do you write the songs? Who writes the songs, or do you all do it together?
Yeah, we don't necessarily like start in a room together and like just try to like make a song right on the spot. A lot of times one of us will have kind of the initial idea, and then we'll kind of like get it to a place where we feel comfortable sharing it, type of thing. So I think primarily with this EP and with the next EP, I was kind of the beginning of the song started with me, and I'll kind of have the original thought process, but it's definitely a collaborative process by the end of it. And I think more like lyrically, a lot of times it'll primarily be me, but it's definitely a group effort for all of our songs.
Cool. And so I write songs, and for me, it kind of starts with the melody. So I started on the guitar or piano, and then I add lyrics on after that. How does that work for you?
Yeah, it just depends. I've done it multiple ways. It really just depends on what I'm feeling. So if there, sometimes there's like a lyric or a
hey we're back sorry about that.
No, that's good.
So you were saying often your songwriting starts with a lyric or a theme.
Yeah, so, and it just depends. So sometimes it'll be like a theme that I feel like is really relatable, or it's just really powerful, and then I'm just like, dang, I really want to build a song around this theme or whatever it is. But then there's other times where it's definitely like
I'll just think of a melody that I think is really sweet. And then I'm like, okay, well, I really need to find lyrics for this because this melody is awesome or this chord progression is awesome or whatever. So it definitely just depends. Or sometimes even if you get lucky, you'll just find something that works both ways. Like you're just like, in the moment, you think of a melody that already has lyrics that are sweet or something like that, just for like a mm-hmm. chorus or something like that, which that is definitely harder to come by, but that's always a really good feeling when that happens too.
Mm. For you, when you write songs, do you let it come to you, or do you kind of sit down and say, I'm going to write a song right now?
I've done that both ways as well. I definitely prefer for it to just come to me. I've never been super into like forcing things if it doesn't feel right, because then it feels sometimes like it can like taint what mm-hmm. you're trying to do. If you're just trying to, because we've had like with our label, we've had times where they want a specific type of song or something like that, or they think the next EP needs this type of song or this type of song, and sometimes that can be a little bit annoying because it feels like it puts you in a box of like takes away your creative freedom a little bit, mm-hmm. Which is not always the best feeling. But I also get it, like labels, their business, they got to do their thing, and they always look at it from a different perspective than the artist looks at it. But I've done both ways, but yeah, I definitely prefer to just have it come to me. That just feels much more natural. It's more fun to write that way if it just like is an emotional experience that you're just getting into it. But yeah,
cool. So I want to talk about the label before that. What does an average day look like for you, including like how you practice or whatnot?
Yeah, I for whatever reason really enjoy working on music in coffee shops. Which sounds weird because it's like there's people there and everything. But for whatever reason, Eric is like this as well. We just enjoy kind of like people moving around us. For whatever reason, that just is like a very, I don't know, just like a weird thing. I would prefer to work in like a coffee shop on my iPad because I've got kind of a setup where I can do it on my laptop or my iPad for writing music. And sometimes it's just nice to kind of have like the movement and the just like white noise of people around you as you work on something. And then when I need to like actually record vocals or something, obviously I need to be in a room by myself. But yeah, I don't know. I think for me, a lot of times I go to a coffee shop in downtown in Salem when we're not like on the road or something, but more like for day-to-day writing and kind of the downtime. I spend a lot of time in coffee shops in Salem or in my house. We have like a band room. So it just depends, but.
Interesting. So when you're writing on your iPad, right? Is that just like in your mind, you're kind of like rhyming things out and, you know, jotting down ideas?
No shame. I actually, on my iPad, I use GarageBand and it honestly works great. And I prefer the iPad. I don't know what they did with it, but the iPad version of GarageBand, I checked it out like I think over this last summer, just because I was like, oh, whatever, I'll see what's up. And it was actually amazing. Like it's very simple, but it's like, I don't know, it's pretty crazy and very, I don't know, sometimes it's nice to just like create a song, or at least like the basis of a song, just like right at your fingertips. Like you just tap everything. And then if I need to switch right over to the notes section for lyrics, like, so I've actually created songs minus the recording the vocals aspect of it. Like in a coffee shop, like with people around, cause you just have your headphones and you're just doing your thing. So it's pretty sweet and I enjoy it. Even though it's definitely like simple and then we have to build it out further and with more complex software. It's kind of fun to like start there.
Interesting. Yeah, that's so cool. Cause like for me, you know, I just kind of lock myself in a practice room all day and I'm writing and I'm more extroverted than that. And so if I was able to just sit in a coffee shop and do it, that'd be dope.
But, yeah.
Dang, that's interesting.
Sure.
And so what was the name of your label again?
Expunged Records out of Portland.
Cool. And then, so how'd you get into working with them?
So that one, I kind of prefaced this a little bit at our show with our last song, Nowhere to Run. That was like the very first song we ever wrote together, the very first song we ever did. We recorded like a live YouTube, like live session thing of it. We just were lucky enough to have a buddy who's like really good with all that stuff, really good with video and really good with audio. So we've actually been able to make a lot of live session videos with him, but that was like the very first one. That's how our manager found us. And then our label, the label owner, I don't even remember exactly how he got his hands on it. It might have been our manager, because we had our manager before we had our label. And I think he might have just like put the video in front of him somehow, found a way. And he liked it, the label owner. And then we were actually going to be playing at the Doug Fir in Portland fairly soon after he had seen the video. And so he came to our show at the Doug Fir and just liked what he heard and signed us after that. So it was definitely that video helped out a ton. And then we didn't suck live. So right. That helped too.
always beneficial to not suck. And so you said you had a manager. What other positions are kind of around you, like, you know, a publicist or a booking agent?
We're kind of just starting to build that out a little bit more too, which is exciting. Our team's definitely growing. There's some built-in resources with our label already, like distribution and things like that, but we just got a new PR guy, and that's really exciting because he's got a pretty good resume and he's worked with some of the bigger, like Complex Magazine and Fader and some of these bigger outlets that would be huge for us to get our music on or get some sort of feature with, because I think right now we feel like we've got some good music, but we just need to find a way to get it in front of more people. So that's really exciting, having a new PR guy. And he's much more like, we've had one in the past, but it was kind of like the guy was a little more old school. And so he was like going after like newspaper blogs and stuff like that. And like, not newspaper blogs, sorry, like newspapers, physical newspapers, which is just like a thing of the past.
Right.
And so this new guy is much more like digital marketing. And so we definitely needed that. And on our manager side, we have like a couple of different people working with us. We have like our main manager and then his assistant, which does a lot of the like kind of like dirty work that that he has her do. I'm trying to think of, I feel like I'm missing somebody, but that's, our team is not huge yet. I think we have like our label, and then we have like four or five people after that have been helping us out. So
cool. And what's it like having a label? Is it enjoyable? You mentioned kind of the dynamic between label and artists, but
at the end of the day, that's going to happen with any label. I definitely have no like ill will towards our label, and we're super grateful that we have a label, and you know, they finance so much of the things that you want to do. And there's so many things that we couldn't do if we didn't have a label. And that's just kind of the nature of being signed by anybody, that there's kind of like that tug and pull a little bit, because they do look at things differently. They look at things from a business point of view, not of like a creative art point of view. And I think that's just natural for anybody that's on a label. And definitely the people who found a way, like Chance the Rapper, to just do it by himself and never be signed by anything, that's really impressive. But then again, I guess he doesn't technically sell his music. So I don't really know how Chance the Rapper does anything he does, because yeah. I'm not sure where his money comes from. I guess merchandise maybe, but yeah. But I'm glad we're on a label, and it's been a good experience overall. But there's definitely just the natural, like, we need more pop top 40 hits because that's where the money's at, stuff like that. But luckily we do enjoy writing those types of kind of mainstream songs too. So it's not too bad.
What you said, you mentioned that there are a few things, or what are examples of things that you couldn't have been doing without your label?
I think a lot of it is just money, like being able to be on the road and tour and not lose money is a really good feeling. being able to like profit off of things like that. And I think if we were, I think why you're able to profit off of it is like when you have a label, it just makes everything easier. Like we can get the college shows, which happen to pay. Usually college shows pay more. So it's nice to sprinkle those in on a tour too, because we kind of do some of the smaller shows that are more intimate and can be fun in their own ways, but then they don't always necessarily pay very much. But then I think just having a label in general gives you kind of a leg up on people that don't have a label, unless you're Chance the Rapper.
Right.
But yeah, I'm trying to, now I'm just like circling here.
No, yeah, that,
definitely that's just perfect. Like, okay, here's a good example. Okay, so like our music videos, that's something that when you don't have to pay for it, like right out of your pocket, you're able to have access to things that you wouldn't have access to. So when the label's financing, like this, the When You're Ready, our single that's out right now, that music video was like the biggest budget thing we've ever done. Mm-hmm. And we were able to like work with a huge crew. That was kind of our first experience doing anything that big too, because it's like we literally didn't have to do any of the work. Like there's a huge crew there. We just show up, have fun, be a part of it. And we didn't have to tear anything down. We didn't have to set anything up. Like there's just this huge like 20-person crew doing all the work. So I think things like that, if we had to like pay for that right out of pocket without a label, that would be like so much more of a pain in the butt than if we didn't.
Right. That makes sense. And you mentioned the university gigs. Is those, I would imagine, like as far as, I mean, in addition to being more lucrative financially, you probably gain like significant numbers of, as far as followers,
for sure.
Followers, you know, fans. Yeah. Does the university reach out to you? Does your agent reach out to them?
How's that work? It happens both ways. This, we actually kind of lucked out with this last tour, playing it. Like, I think we played at like 5 or 6 colleges, and somehow they all actually reached out to us this time around. So it's happened both ways, but this particular time, Whitworth, I actually have friends from high school that go to Whitworth.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if that, I really don't know how it happened, but I guess Whitworth reached out to us. College in Texas, UT Dallas, reached out to us. I think Samford University in Alabama reached out. So this time around, I think when you have some of those like student led events, which is really awesome. And like, I enjoy that too, because I think it's cool that the students get to lead those, because then I think they are able to like reach out to bands that they're listening to, or reach out to bands that they know that, they're going to enjoy and that their friends are going to enjoy. Cause that's what you want. I mean, if it's just some like superintendent bringing in some band that they don't like, they're out of touch with kids, you could show up and nobody would be there. So I think it's cool that students get to lead those things. But yeah, basically to answer your question, it happens both ways. This particular time, you guys reached out.
Right. And I know like for us, it is student led. So they'll like go around and like ask people, who would you like to see come out? And I like heard that you guys were coming out, and I didn't actually know who, I hadn't heard of you until I saw you live, which was really cool.
That's awesome.
So there you go. You know, new fans.
Heck yeah.
When you guys were first getting started as a band, you guys were from Salem, right?
Yep. Yep.
Did you kind of grind on like starting building that local following, or kind of, or did you branch out immediately?
Pretty much immediately, due to the fact that Salem has no music scene.
yeah.
It's like not small. The population is like fairly big. And it is like the capital, even though nobody knows that, of Oregon. Really? But it's just such a spread out town, and like the downtown, there's some weird rule in our downtown that like buildings aren't allowed to be taller than the state capitol building.
Really?
So our downtown is just like a lot of short buildings, and like just there's not a whole lot of nightlife or anything. So we pretty much branched out right away. We definitely play in Salem, and we have played in Salem, but it's kind of more of like once a year we'll put together some shows in like a smaller venue, just kind of to stay loyal to our roots type of thing. And we have a blast doing it too, because we have a lot of friends and family here. And but we definitely played a lot in Portland at the beginning. Our manager's from LA, and he lives in LA. So we've actually played, I think we've honestly played more shows in LA than we have in Salem. And we go to LA a lot for that type of thing. That's where we actually went for our music video. So LA has kind of been more of like our second home. And we always just like stay with our manager when we're there. So it's like super easy to travel there and all that stuff. But yeah, I think definitely West Coast, and we branched out pretty quickly. We played in San Francisco quite a bit. Yeah. So I think it's hard to, and with Salem, because there's no music scene, it feels like a small town. And so I think a lot of people know about us, whether we've like played or not, just because there's not, like, there really hasn't been any bands come out of Salem. So I think just the fact that there is one right now, like, people enjoy that. Like, I mean, we enjoy it. When I see, I've got a girl from my high school that's like tearing it up in college basketball right now. And so it's just like being from this town, it's like everybody rallies around that type of stuff. Like, I love seeing her be successful, and she goes to OSU and she's like a freshman, but already tearing it up. So it's like, it's pretty crazy. I think people just, when you have that small town feel, like whenever anybody's having success, like, you're excited about that.
Right. That's cool. Right. And I'm from the Trace Cities, Washington.
Okay.
Yeah. But I go to school here in Spokane. And so kind of both, there's definitely more of a music scene in Spokane than Trace Cities.
Yeah.
But pretty similar aspect as far as small town vibe and community engagement, definitely, as far as that goes. Do you guys have like a strategy in mind as a band, as far as, you know, trying to make it even further than you have?
Yeah. I think for us, we've seen like our most engagement and the most success we've had is on Spotify. We don't have the best social media numbers. But I think for us trying to get, I think having the new publicist guy is really going to help us a lot, because like I said, I feel like we've got the music. It's now just trying to figure out how to get it in front of people. And so I think if we could get some bites from those bigger news outlets, and getting some features there, I think that would help a ton. And we're kind of pushing at that and trying to get some bites there. I think we're always trying to figure out ways. We've got some like ins with some people in Spotify. The way that the Spotify playlists work is some of them are like the top charts, so it's just like listens and like the actual numbers. But a lot of them that have a lot of listeners are actually just curated by people at Spotify. So if you can get your foot in the door at Spotify, that can help a ton, and get like good relationships there, because then the people that are curating those are going to be more likely to put you into some of those big playlists. So we've got some friends at Spotify that we're trying to just continue to develop those relationships and hopefully get on to. I know one of the ones I listen to a lot too is New Music Friday, which I think is like has a pretty big following. And I always look there every Friday because I'm always intrigued to see like what's up. And it's always like bigger names that are on there. So I think if we could somehow swing something like that and get onto one of those types of playlists, that would help a ton. So I think we're seeing the importance of a lot of digital stuff as well as touring, because it just seems like more and more people and more artists you see come out don't even really tour that much. It's just they like blew up on YouTube or had one song that was like in a commercial and then it blew up or something like that. So I think we're understanding, and that leads me to another part of our team is our licensing company. I forgot about them. They have helped us tremendously, and that's helped us a lot financially as well, because if you can get, we've had some songs on Pretty Little Liars, we've had some songs on The Bachelor, so if you can get kind of those commercial deals, those help with kind of like the keeping the boat moving a little bit, because that can bring in some money. And yeah, but our licensing team, I can't believe I forgot about them, because they've been huge for us, and that they definitely have can help out a ton with all that stuff and growing and things like that. So we're definitely
cool.
We're spreading our wings and trying to do more and more as we grow, and just kind of see if something bites for sure in terms of like really breaking into to like top status.
Right. And you, I mean, you guys got good numbers on your songs. Like, you know, you got a couple over a million streams,
yeah,
which is cool.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely really exciting.
Yeah. And how, so how did you go about making friends at Spotify?
So this most recent EP that we recorded, and it is done. It is a real thing. I know it's hard to believe. I don't know why. We definitely wish that it was out by now. We just ran into some issues after releasing the single.
Mm-hmm.
Now I just lost my train of thought.
Spotify.
Yes. Okay. So our label, hooked us up with a different, our first album we recorded, like super like first album story. It was like in a house studio type of thing, like nothing professional, very like low budget. But this next EP is, we had access to a lot more resources, a really nice studio and some people that our label knew from. It was actually a band that was on his label previously. I don't know if a lot of people don't know who they are, but the band is Priory. I don't know if you've ever heard of Priory. They're from Washington/Portland, and they had like one huge song like 2 or 3 years ago or something like that, and they ended up getting like a major label deal and all this stuff, but now they've settled down, they're producing, so we were able to produce with them, and they had friends at Spotify, and so they've been able to kind of like hook us up with some of those the friends that they've had. So we've been able to talk with some people and develop those relationships more. So it's unfortunate how a lot of it seems to be just who you know, or like mm-hmm. getting lucky with somebody that has a relationship already in place. But I think that's just kind of the nature of a lot of things in life. It's just like, all the experience in the world, but if this other guy who had half the amount of schooling as you knows the guy at the business you want to get into, then he might get in before you do, regardless.
That's how it works, you know, for better or for worse.
Seriously.
That was interesting, because I've been interested in that Spotify thing. And so, you know, and that makes sense. It's a lot of its playlist. And that's why I like Spotify, is their playlists are so like a good, like there's a lot of them, and like popular. People go to Spotify to listen to these curated for playlists. Sure.
We love it. We're all about it.
Cool. And do you personally, and then as a band, set like goals for yourself?
Definitely. Yeah. I think we weren't the best at that kind of early on, but we definitely have over the last couple of years learned how important it is to set goals, big ones as well as like the day-to-day type of goals. So for me, it was like just making sure that because for me, it's easy to fall into the trap for songwriting, because I definitely prefer, like I said, I prefer for it to come naturally. So it's easy to fall into the trap of just like, if I'm not feeling it, I just don't write that day, which I've learned is definitely not the way to go. Like, you can't just literally wait for something to come to you. You do have to sit in a room and kind of essentially force yourself to at least be in an environment where the creative thoughts can start flowing, even if you don't like whip out a whole song in that session or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I think setting those goals of just like making sure you really day to day are doing what you need to do. But then for us, major goals wise, like our big goals, I think we would love, and we've kind of always said this in the beginning, we would love to just hear a song on like the top 40 radio. I think that would be kind of like one of those moments where you're just like, holy crap, like this mm-hmm. is dope. And then I think for us, more like immediate future, I think we really want to open up for somebody that is bigger than us. I think that for touring goals, that's kind of our current tour goal, is trying to find a band that we can like hop on the road with them that already have like a built-in fan base. Mm-hmm. Because I think similar to like the college shows, you get to run into a bunch of people that are in the kind of like younger demographic that you're looking for in terms of listeners, and just gain a bunch of followers that way. So I think that's kind of, those are kind of two of our bigger goals right now.
Cool. And that was actually going to be one of my questions, was talking about openers, because I've been doing a lot of thinking about that, because I went to a George Ezra concert last week, and Noah Kahan, if you know him, opened.
I do not.
You should look him up. He's really good.
Sure.
But, yeah, and so if you had your pick, who would you open up for?
Oh, dang. I know, like, dream scenarios. Mm-hmm. I said this at the show too. I for so long didn't want to like Shawn Mendes, and I like I really wanted to just hate on him. But this most recent, he's released like 3 singles, I think, recently, mm-hmm. and I love him. I love all 3 of them, and they actually. It's weird because, and it's hard to say because we haven't released our stuff yet or all of them, but they're kind of in a similar wheelhouse of what we just recorded, where it's like. Mm-hmm. Definitely pop and like current, but it's not super digital. It's kind of like a mixture of digital instruments, as well as kind of like keeping the acoustic guitar in there, keeping some of the original like real piano sounds, mm-hmm. Real drum sounds. And that's kind of what we just did, and we're really excited about, is like still building these like pop songs that people are going to feel like are really current and up to date, but are not like just a bunch of digital instruments. And so after he released this new stuff, we're like, holy crap, like this could actually, I feel like they would actually complement each other pretty well. But that's definitely like a dream scenario. If we could open up for him, that would be just psychotic if that worked out. I think more realistically, we actually opened up, I don't know if you've heard of Mr. Wives.
Mr. Wives, no.
I think they have like a huge following overseas primarily. But we opened for them actually once in Seattle, and that show alone helped our numbers out so much, because it was like the demographic was a bunch of like young teenage girls, which worked out well for our lyrical content. Which is
gold for the industry.
so it was like perfect, and we gained so many followers from that. So I think if we could open up for them again, that would be sweet. Man, I'm trying to think. Yikes.
That was perfect.
Yeah. One person, just because I love her, and she if she ever wanted to like date, I'd be down. Tori Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
Freaking love her and her hair. and her voice is just ridiculous.
She just seems like such a sweet human.
For sure. And I think that's kind of like, not that, I think we look up to her too, because she's just like, it seems we all, you know, I think everybody comes, well, maybe there aren't, maybe not everybody. I think some people go into it and just like want money, but like, we really want to, no matter what happens, really like stay true to who we are, and like stay humble and stay kind and stay just like, you know, good hearted people that our parents raised us to be. And I think seeing what she's done, mm-hmm. and all the success she had, but like you said, she just seems so genuine and so kind, and very like down to earth, and I think for us that's inspiring, because we hope that we could achieve the same success she has, but also stay grounded the way she has.
I'm like 100%. I mean, yeah, dude, she's got like a Bible verse in her Instagram bio, you know.
I'm all about it. I freaking like, love her.
You do not see that in Hollywood these days.
No. And that's kind of, that's okay there. Yeah. That leads me to another goal, which this is like the main goal that we have. And that's like, it, like what you just said is perfect. Like there are some, and Tori Kelly is kind of broken in there, but there's not a whole lot of good influences in like pop culture and in mm-hmm. Hollywood. And I think that's kind of like our main goal overall as like human beings, is just, it would be amazing to break through into this pop culture world and like just be good influences and like be a light to these people and mm-hmm. like I too have a Bible verse in my bio. And so it's like, it would just be amazing to be able to reach the people that would never step foot into a church or never step foot or like never open up a Bible. And you're not like preaching to them and being like, right, convert, but it's just kind of like this more passive.
Yeah.
Like just, hey, like we're kind and we're loving, we love everybody. And like, if it somehow leads people to the gospel, like that's amazing. But just being a light, that's definitely like our main goal.
Man, 100%. And I'm the same way. Like, that's also, you know, overarching goal.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, it's, yeah, like, who do you look up to?
Exactly. These
days, you know, it's like, and the fact that someone like Tori Kelly can be popular and still, you know, hold on to that,
yeah,
is pretty hopeful.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's inspiring for sure. And I think we actually, now I'm going to pull the whole like, oh, well, I actually know somebody who knows Tori Kelly.
Yeah.
But we do. We actually are, she went to the church that we go to now, but it was before we went there. So that was kind of a bummer. I wish she, yeah, still would have been there.
Yeah.
We are friend of ours. Basically, they're like, she's still really good friends with some of the people that still go to our church. So unfortunately, mm-hmm, I've never talked to her. I'm not friends with her. But some of the people that still go to the church I go to are like still close with her and like talk to her and hang out with her. But So it's not cool at all. But it's
maybe. Hey, no, I mean, cool. Dude, degrees of separation.
Yeah, maybe it'll lead to something somewhere. I was really disappointed when they told me that she was engaged. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah, I feel that. It's just like that, like, you know, 0.001% chance that could ever happen is just like, oh, darn.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, and so in just getting into some more, you know, questions in that vein.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite gig story?
A favorite gig story?
Like something that happened on a gig that,
yeah,
just, you know.
I'll give you like an actual cool experience, but also just kind of like, they weren't your favorite stories in the moment, but looking back,
yeah,
it's just like, they're funny and it's fun to look back at them. But we had this one where we played like at a junkyard in Portland. And I don't know how it happened. It was like an old like boat shipyard thing outside. It was awful. And the sound, like the stage was just this like makeshift stage that was like cinder blocks and wood, and the pieces of wood on the stage said "do not stand" on like, the stage said "do not stand." So it's like, the show is ridiculous and it was awful, but it was like, it's funny looking back at it, even though it sucked in the moment. But and then I think more like I said, probably the Mr. Wives show that I was talking about, that's probably like been one of our cool, and we opened for Alan Stone as well, and that was awesome, because Alan Stone is just like, he's not huge, but he's just, we've always loved him, and like blues music and jazz and soul have been like huge parts of us growing up
big time. Yeah.
And so I think we've all, like, I remember the first time I heard Unaware by Alan Stone, like saw that live session, and I was just like, holy crap. And so I think when our manager came to us and said that, like, we were going to be able to open up for him for a couple shows, we were just, like, pooping our pants because it was just insane. And we learned so much from him, too, just because he's another one of those guys. He's, like, super, super kind, was not, like, oh, I'm too cool to talk to the openers. Like, he was super nice and talked to us a bunch and gave us all these pointers. And even just watching him, he's definitely, like, one of the better just like live performers, because he's not, you know, he's not like doing a dance routine or anything, but he's just so passionate, and like you feel everything he's singing when he sings it, and it just is like, yeah, I don't know. So that was, opening for him was awesome too, just because not only did like the shows were sweet and had a lot of people, but just like watching him was awesome too.
Sick. I'll have to check him out. If you could jam with any artist who's not around anymore,
who would it be? Like they're dead, or they
like
just
they're
aren't
dead.
Like
they're dead. Yeah.
Okay. Oh gosh, this is gonna show how bad I am in terms of knowing whether someone's dead yet.
Oh my god.
let's see. Well, actually, okay, this is an easy one. well, maybe not. This might be creepy. Yeah. But I actually really loved Michael Jackson growing up. Like when I had his like best of album, but it was like his music videos. It wasn't just CD.
Interesting.
So we had, it was like the first generation of TVs in cars, like when they were just starting monitors inside of
back
cars.
In the day.
Feeling. Yeah. So we had in our, like, I think it was a van. It might have been an SUV. I can't remember. But our family car, I literally, no matter where we went, no matter how long of a drive it was going to be, it could be just to like the freaking restaurant 5 minutes away. I would just watch the Michael Jackson music video things like nonstop every time we went anywhere. So that was awesome. But maybe like pre-creepy Michael Jackson, I would love to.
Yeah. Dude, but, I'm a huge fan of Michael Jackson.
Heck yeah. I mean, he's like just, yeah. I mean, his resume speaks for itself. It's just
the fact that every human, the fact that every human on earth knows his name speaks for itself.
Seriously.
Cool. And so when you're unfocused or in a funk, what do you do to get out of it?
It's interesting you asked. I was actually just thinking about this a couple days ago. Just like, I'm glad that I've got hobbies that aren't just music. Because I think that's really important to like, it's weird because music is like kind of a hobby and that's where it starts. But as it's kind of transitioned into more of a career for us, I think holding on to, like, I played a lot of sports in high school. Eric and I, especially Scott and Jordan, don't play a lot of video games, but like Eric and I grew up playing a lot of video games, and I think maybe it's because we were younger, but I think just holding on to some of those hobbies, because Eric and I don't live together, but we'll like play online together on Xbox. So it's like, I think just having some of those hobbies where you can just like kind of not think about music for a second and just like take a break from it mentally, because every day we've got like new emails coming through from Kyle, our manager, and just like a lot of the like business stuff that you don't have to deal with early on. As that starts to flow in, music can sometimes feel more like a job and less fun when it's not like just songwriting. So sometimes you get drained out by some of that business aspect of it. And so I think having like being able to just like go shoot some hoops or, you know, kick around a soccer ball with some friends, something like that, like just get your mind off of it before you dive into like a music writing session, I think is really important. And definitely has helped me a ton when I am like just not feeling it or I feel drained or whatever.
Cool. Yeah. And I was going to ask about work-life balance, but that kind of ties right in.
Yeah, it definitely does. I think especially when you aren't able to collaborate all the time, I think if you are like primarily writing alone, it definitely helps to just like take your mind off of things, because if that other person's not in the room, like collaborating, helping you write, and it kind of is falling on your shoulders in that moment or whatever, it's definitely important to like make sure you've got some energy.
Right. Which makes sense. And I think is very healthy. Are you looking forward to anything this summer?
I think for us, we're just, like I said, we wish that we could have released stuff sooner, and this summer it finally is coming out. Like our EP and the singles, and we're going to have some more music videos coming out. So I think this summer is going to be a lot of new content, which we're really, really excited about and just ready for people to hear. Because like I said, the first album was just, we were really happy with it. And we're honest, I think we're surprised that we were able to get as many licensing deals from it as we did, because we just didn't feel like it was necessarily the highest quality production wise. But I think we're just excited because this is like our first adventure with a lot more resources and higher production value and things like that. So it just is exciting to like have this product that you feel like could compete with like things that are on the radio. Like it sounds like it's in the same realm in terms of production value, which I think is just really exciting. So we're definitely hyped and like ready for people to hear what we've been working on, as well as, I mean, we have a blast with the music video stuff too. Like the, like I said, that music video we're able to do for When You're Ready, that was just such a fun experience. And I think we're going to be able to get to do that more and more as we grow. And so we're definitely looking forward to that. We're going to have another music video coming out with our third, I think, when our EP releases. So like the third, we got one more single coming out and then we'll have the EP release. So definitely just content in general. We're all super stoked about.
Cool. So two more questions.
Yeah.
Do you have any non-musical figures that you look up to, dead or alive?
I definitely do. I just have to like remember.
If you can't think, it's fine.
I know right now, I'm just starting to get into, I've never been a huge fan of reading, honestly. Like, especially in school, it's like you grow up and you have to like read these books that they want you to read, and they're never they're never interesting. Like, it's just, you just spark note it to get by.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But now I'm kind of getting into reading more as like an actual enjoyment. And so I'm reading Making Sense of God by Timothy Keller.
Cool.
And I'm super into, like, I've read a Timothy Keller, like a couple of Timothy Keller books before as well. So I would love to sit down with him, because everything that I've read of his so far has just been like, kind of hits the nail on the head and feels very like current. And I don't know, it just feels, I think that's one of the things why people tend to like stray away from like religion or the Bible or whatever, is that, you know, you always hear that just like, well, it's super old book and outdated and times have changed. And it's like, I think people like Timothy Keller who are finding ways to draw from the Bible and make it more current and relatable and just feels like, holy cow, this is so relevant and this is so true, even for right now, I think is like really awesome. And I'm glad that there's like people that are doing that. So I think more on like a, that's kind of like one of those guys I would want to sit down and have a really deep conversation with. But then I'm trying to think of like an athlete. I'm super into sports, and like Scott and I especially are like really like huge Portland Trailblazer fans, huge Oregon Ducks football fans. Ooh, Marcus Mariota. I would love to sit down with Marcus Mariota. He was the Oregon Ducks football quarterback, and he's like, he won the Heisman Trophy. He's like one of the best quarterbacks, but probably the best quarterback the Oregon Ducks football team has ever had. And he's another one of those guys that is like, his faith is a huge part of who he is. And he's like now like a star quarterback for the Tennessee Titans in the NFL, but he's like staged, super grounded, and just seems kind of similar type of thing with Tori Kelly. He just seems like, he seems like no matter how much success he's going to have, he's going to stay who he is. And just, he's like from Hawaii, I think. So he's got a very like, just like chill vibes type of thing going on. And so he just, he seems like he'd be really cool to like hang out with.
Cool. And so wait, you mentioned the Trailblazers. Is Dame, does Dame, I don't know sports like at all.
Yeah, no worries.
Damian, does Damian Lillard play on that?
Yeah. Yep. So that would be, it would be cool to meet him too. For sure.
I know his brother.
Really?
Holy yeah. So he, my dad was the general manager of this, like, of like the local like football team at in Tri-Cities.
Wow.
And like the arena football team or whatever. And Houston, his brother played on it. And so
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was kind of funny.
That's sweet. Yeah. Damian Lillard, that would be sweet to meet him too. That's so cool.
So that's my, you know, uninteresting claim to fame.
Yeah. That's like my Tori Kelly one, but that's actually better. That's definitely a, like a more real connection than mine.
Yeah. We're probably not going to lead anywhere, but you know, it's all right. I can still say it.
Get some courtside seats, bro.
I'll try. I'll try my best. Hit you up if I do. Okay. Last question. Do you have a favorite beer and or snack?
Beer and or snack?
Yeah, or drink, or if you don't drink beer.
I'm like fresh on the 21 scene. And
Same.
And so I personally am not a huge fan of beer. I'm not just like saying this so that I sound like I'm a good
beer human, yeah.
But I really didn't drink that much, and I don't drink very much still. And I just don't really like the taste. But I have found It was actually on the road in our last tour where I finally found a drink that I enjoy and I sound, or I feel like I sound really cool saying it. So it's the Moscow Mule, but I do it with a splash of cranberry juice, which I think makes it sound a little more professional.
Okay.
And so that drink I actually really, really enjoy. But I think I definitely have preferred like hard ciders too over over like beer. And then snack wise, I'm huge into the pretzel M&Ms and the crispy M&Ms.
Interesting.
The crispy ones, I feel like they had them before. They're like new now, but I swear I've had them before when I like finally bought them again.
Huh.
But it might just be like destiny that I love them so much, but I'm not sure. Those things are really...
So you said you're fresh on the 21 scene. When's your birthday?
July. So I guess it was July. So I guess it's not been super fresh. I'm about to turn 22 in July.
But okay.
I feel like I'm fresh because I just really haven't like indulged a ton in trying out a bunch of drinks. And like for my birthday, rather than like going and getting wasted in bars, I went to just like the like classy vineyard that is in our hometown, and just kind of like had a really chill 21st birthday.
Cool. Nice, man. Well, hey, is there any parting words you want to say to anybody out there or musicians out there, whatever you want?
Yeah, I think in terms of like advice I could give is just like having a team of people. I think for us, we've been fortunate enough to have like family that was kind of built in, and like it's been a huge blessing to like grow up together and all enjoy the same things and want to like be a part of a band together. But I think anybody, even if you're going to do like solo stuff, I think just having a community of people around you that you enjoy spending time with and are encouraging you and will hold you accountable to the things that you want to do. I think just it's definitely a lot easier with anything in life when you have a community of people that you love and care about and that care about you. Whether it's like blood relatives or not, like Jordan, who's not a blood relative, feels like family. Kyle now feels like family, our manager. A lot of these people we take the relationships we build really seriously. So I think that's a huge thing. It's just like, even if it's some random sound guy in a show that is like in a freaking crappy location, like that junkyard show, as much as we hated it deep down, like, we weren't a-holes to the sound guy. Like, we were tried our best to, like, no matter who we come in contact with, like, just be nice to everybody, be kind to everybody, be gracious to everybody, because I'm sure the sound guy at the junkyard show didn't want to be there as much as we did.
Right.
So it's just, like, there's really no benefit from being an a-hole to anybody. Right. So I think community aspect, like people that are like more immediately around you, is huge, and then also just like being kind to everybody that you come in contact with is huge as well.
Sweet. I love it.
I appreciate it, man. This has been a blast. I always
love it.
Fun.
Well, hopefully I will be able to see you in concert sometime soon.
Heck yeah. We're hopefully coming back. We're talking to our manager, actually. Like I said, there's all the day-to-day emails, and we've got a bunch flowing in and out about adding dates to the tour. So hopefully we'll figure something out soon.
Sweet, sweet. Well, hey, man, thank you again, and we will talk soon. Have a great day.
For sure. You too, man. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, guys, hope you enjoyed the episode. Be sure to follow me on Instagram at Sean D Songs. That's SeanDSongs. Sean D Songs. And stay tuned for more content. Till next time.